ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're serving as a ruling elder or a deacon in the church, but you also have almost a dozen other roles. Sibling, partner, advisor, instructor, manager, musician, medic, artist, designer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, a ruling elder and a certified Christian educator serving within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. I'm particularly excited for this episode as I have an old friend with me, Jeff, or as he's more commonly known, Jake Jacobs, is the executive director of Camp Henry in Newaygo, Michigan. Camp Henry is a year-round ministry of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Jake and I were both campers there as children and youth and served together several summers as counselors and as staff. Welcome to the podcast, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. During the summers that we spent at Camp Henry together and probably well before our time, the camp, like many others, used quite a bit of Native American symbolism in its life and in its ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about how that was lived out at Camp Henry, Jake?
Yeah, sure. I think it was the early 70s that tradition and customs arrived at camp. And like you said, it was not uncommon for lots of camps to use Native American names or tribal names for cabins. And then, as you know, we would have ceremonies at the end of the week. And it was really meant to be honoring and authentic in a way to mark the end of a week and all the things that campers had accomplished and growing in their confidence and their independence. Yet, you know, the origins are a little fuzzy. I think it came from another camp that arrived at our camp, and in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't really questioned. I think the staff felt that it was really, really important and really special. So it wasn't done in a making fun way or like a let's play dress up, but it was done as like, hey, this is really an indicator of the end of a special week and a special way to acknowledge the week coming to an end.
And that's how I remember it, both as a camper and as a staff person as well. But the reason that you're with us today is because I understand that Camp Henry has made some significant changes and formed some important relationships over the years as we've learned what some of that significance is all about. Can you help us understand or lead us through kind of the path that Camp Henry has taken in within this understanding?
Sure. I think it was probably 15 years ago that actually a staff member at Westminster Church made the recommendation that, hey, we should maybe hit the pause button or just get some other eyes and ears on what we're doing. So we invited a local person that identified as Native American to come and sit in with us and say, hey, we want to get your insight on this. And so they came and they were there for one of our closing fires. And at the time, their input was, hey, this is really neat. This is really cool. There's a few things you could change. Examples of don't incorporate the color yellow because that has a specific meaning. Maybe change some of the language. But really, they have mostly positive review. And then, in fact, they participated a little bit with us in those ceremonies on Friday nights. And again, like I said, that might have been 15 years ago. And then time passed, and I think it was 2019, the American Camp Association was starting to provide more workshops and more webinars and write more articles and, on cultural appropriation and how that's happening at camps. So we reached out to one of the experts, a faculty member at Washington State, and really tried to pick her brain and how could we just reflect and pause on what we're doing. And we were halfway down the road of flying her out to Michigan and having her work with our staff and getting her insight. And thankfully, her wisdom prevailed. And she said, you know what? I'm in Washington, you're in Michigan, you should really start local. Reach out to somebody in your local area, because that's really what's going to be most impactful, and what's appropriate here in the Pacific Northwest might not be the same as what's appropriate or meaningful or important to you there in Michigan. So we did that. So we reached out first to our local history museum in town, and they let us know about a organization called the Native Circle of Newaygo County, and that's the county that our camp is in. So we got in contact with the president of that association and just invited them to come to camp for a conversation, and which led to many and countless conversations over the last 4 years. But the initial conversation was something along the lines of, hey, here's all the things we're doing. We want it to be honoring and respectful and accurate, and if we can maintain some of the things that we're doing, but do it well, that would be option A. If we can't, then option B is either modify it or eliminate it or substitute with some other programming. And I kind of joke, you know, and the joke goes both ways, because the members of the Native Circle would say the same thing. They'd say, oh, Jake, you can ask five Natives their opinion and you're going to get seven different opinions. And so there was not an instant easy answer. And even as simple as the names on the cabins, some people said, oh, those should come down immediately. That's not appropriate. And others said, well, that's just another way that we're going to be erased from the landscape. And we keep getting eliminated. And they even talked about colleges and universities and sports teams that have moved away from using Native names and slogans and mascots. And they were really divided on that. Some said, you know, that was where I saw myself. That was where I thought I was really cool. I loved being a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs as a kid. And they said, you know, sometimes it's other people that are picking battles on our behalf, and we're sad to see those things go away. So it wasn't a real easy answer of what's the next step, but it led to several years of conversation.
And I think it's really important. I love the way that you highlighted that somebody from another part of the country who may be an expert in some things may not be the right expert for this particular location. And the fact that you really built up some local relationships to help that happen, and the fact that there are so many different opinions about these issues and the ways in which culture is appropriated or lifted up. I think it's also important to note that you and I are having this conversation, and neither of us necessarily represents a Native American perspective. And my hope in the future to have some conversations on the podcast that do include some Native American voice in the conversation as well. My guess is, Jake, knowing that, as you said, the history has gone back at least to the 70s, that there are probably people for whom these were not welcome changes. I think it's pretty safe to say that Camp Henry is a pretty majority white camp, and as is the PCUSA denomination as a whole as well. And so what did you hear from campers, parents, alumni about some of these changes and the ways that things were changing?
Yeah, we heard all the things, everything from, I can't believe you're still doing this. I thought this would have gone away years ago, to, I can't believe you'd ever consider not doing this. This is the most important thing we do, and it's a key component of the week, and it's what I experienced when I was a camper, and now my kids are going there, and I want them to experience the same thing that I did, and of course we're not trying to be hurtful or harmful, and everything in between. So we really tried to move forward with this idea of just being intentional and really ask ourselves, like, well, why are we doing this? What are we trying to accomplish, and are there other ways to get to some of those same goals?
So looking beyond what the tradition is and what is the purpose and the goal. Yeah, that's great. As a denomination, the PCUSA is involved in lots of tough work in acknowledging the ways that we've been a beneficiary of the doctrine of discovery. The church has frequently been an active participant in the exclusion and erasure of Native peoples, and we've been really complicit in the harm of Native peoples and are doing some work to acknowledge that. Unfortunately, some of these past actions have been passed along to our children, as we've not necessarily demonstrated respect for Native peoples and their culture. And it sounds like Camp Henry has been learning more about that and doing some of that really hard work. So I really appreciate you telling that story. Most of our audience probably does not have influence or maybe even connection to a summer camp. But my hope is that by you sharing some of the story, Jake, that maybe they can make some connections in their own ministries as ruling elders and as deacons with some other things that might be happening within the church or its ministries that might be harming, might not be genuine, maybe appropriating other pieces as we work for equity, inclusion, and justice. Are there other parts of the story that you feel like would be helpful for leaders in the church to hear and remember as they serve?
Yeah, I think some of the things we learned is our assumptions weren't always accurate. And as you know, and listeners know, this has been a topic in the media, and there's lots of things out there about cultural appropriation and even some suggested remedies maybe. But for example, one of the things that was talked about was, would it be appropriate to have a land acknowledgement when we welcome people to camp or when we open a camping session? And the resounding response we got from our local group was, yeah, that'd be okay, but that's pretty hollow. And that almost feels like white people's solution to checking a box. And we did that and we moved on. And people just tune out and it's just blah, blah, blah. And it's a lot of noise. And they kind of said, that's really more for your benefit than for ours. And they even talked about, you know, even if you put up a plaque or signage, those things really don't get to the heart of what would be helpful. And so that was helpful for us to hear. And so we led into, okay, well, then what would be helpful? And I think what we embarked on was a really cool partnership of how we've enhanced the experience in particular for our summer camp kids that come to camp. And so for the last couple summers, every Wednesday night, our friends and partners from the Native Circle will come. We divide the camp in half, the older kids and the younger kids, and they each kind of have similar programming, and then they flip. And there's a 14, I think she might have just turned 15-year-old girl named Jade, who's a Native dancer, and she comes and she performs and shares Native dances and the different types of dances and has everybody get up and start dancing, and just some explanation of the regalia that she wears and why it's symbolic and what it means. And she has a touch table where kids can see and touch different things and learn about eagle feathers. And then the other half spend time around a campfire with our friend Joe and another one of our Native friends who tells Native legends and stories and just also talks about some of the history of the people in our area and customs and where they lived and things that are important to them. And our Native friends have said, this is great. This really gives us a chance to be featured as experts and authorities and someone that can add value to the experience. We've even started having a few times this summer, they'll bring what's called the big drum, and we'll put it in the middle of the camp, and we'll have 300 people dancing around the drum, and it's led in a way that it's educational, but it's participatory, and kids are allowed to ask questions, and kids ask the greatest questions. And like one of the kids this past summer said, hey, what should I call you? Indian, Native American, Indigenous? And it was great to hear the responses, and the person leading the discussion said, well, I want you to call me an Indian, even though that's probably what people tell you not to call me. And he went on to explain, he said, because that's the word that's used in every treaty. And every treaty would be null and void if we get rid of the word Indian, because that's the word that's in there. So I need you to call me an Indian so those treaties will be honored and upheld. And so it's just been really, really cool. It hasn't always been perfect. We've, you know, made some mistakes and adjusted and adapted. We actually have partnered with the Native Circle where, you know, we tried to ask them, well, how can we be helpful to you? And they said, well, we'd love some more Native kids to go to camp, but they can't always afford it. And so they designed t-shirts that they sell at their powwows and their gatherings. And we made the decision, well, let's sell those in our camp store, along with all the other Camp Henry shirts. And any proceeds that are sold that come from the sale of those shirts go into a fund to help get Native kids the opportunity to come to Camp Henry.
That's amazing, Jake. I really love the way that it took this acknowledgement of really sort of a negative in a way that could have just been looked at as a negative, I guess. And you could have just made the changes to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to call the cabin something else. We're going to have a different acknowledgement at the end of the week. But instead of doing that, as you've learned from these this relationship building and really this process of sort of examination of what the goals are, is really created what sounds like an amazing educational experience, lifts up the culture of these Native people. And I particularly like the way that it's some of it's led by a peer of the kids who are campers right there, and they get to see it and ask those questions that I think there was not an opportunity for before, as well as joining in partnership with, was it called the Native Tribal Circle?
Yeah, the Native Circle.
Circle. And providing an opportunity for some additional children to come to camp that wouldn't otherwise. And now I might just have to buy one of their shirts.
Yeah. Well, and I think you should. They've got some pretty cool ones. And I think one of the learnings for us was the initial inquiry. We started out pretty transactional, and now it's become very relational. And in fact, we're Camp Henry is one of the sponsors of their local fall gathering in Powwow, and they give us a chance to come and speak at their gatherings. And I think, in fact, for 2024, we're looking at hosting the Powwow at Camp Henry. And I think one of the things that's been really cool, it's been kind of a side benefit, is when I'm up in front of the camp and there's 225 kids and I'm introducing Joe before he comes and speaks, it's genuine, it's authentic. The kids are seeing Joe and I hugging and high-fiving and hanging out and laughing. And I think even just that glimpse of that relationship piece goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Wow, what wonderful relationships you're forming and really, I think probably making a difference for a lot of the children and youth who are able to attend camp, as well as you said, the mutual relationship with the tribal circle and that kind of thing. And I'm gonna look for that powwow. Certainly, the issues of diversity, equity, inclusion are much larger than we can cover in one short podcast episode. As you referenced, Jake, this has been a process. It wasn't something that changed overnight. Relationships aren't built overnight. But I hope that this conversation might encourage our listeners to dig in and to do some of the tough work to look into our own implicit biases, to form relationships with those for whom we might not have had relationships before that might be of a different culture, a different background. And as I said, I hope to include some Native American voice in this conversation like you have in the future. So I really thank you, Jake. It was really a gift to have you as a guest today, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and certainly really appreciate hearing these, what I consider to be very significant changes in one little corner of the world, and look forward to seeing how the ripples take on, who knows how far they will go. And know that our audience of ruling elders and deacons can hear this and can maybe think about what's going on in their own ministries and create some of those ripples themselves. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons. PCUSA.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.